By the way, Ms. Wanda is with us today. And so, choir practice today at 5:15, Brother Marcus said. Take your Bibles, let's go to Psalms 13. And Faye just sent me a text and said that she gets dizzy when she gets up in different time zones, and she meant every time. But she wanted me to bring her some saltines and crackers, and she said, I will pay you back. And that's kind of wife you need right there now. But we'll be doing that. Psalms 13, 1 through 6. We've been doing some selected psalms on Sunday morning, and I've got one that I want to preach after my mother passes, and then next week we'll be in another psalm. But select a psalm. The book of Psalms is a great book for worship and praise, but it's a great book for going to God with your troubles, and so that's what we're doing. Psalms 13, 1 through 6. Where is God when we need him? Now, that's obvious. We know where he's at. But David might have asked that question as we look in Psalms 13. Let's stand in honor of the reading of God's word. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my own soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Talking about Saul. Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. Here you see the change. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dwelt bountifully with me. Father, I pray as we get into the mind of David, and as we look and see how he made the transition in verse 6, verse 5. And Father, we live in a troubled world. We're only one day away from a diagnosis. We're only one day away from trouble and tribulation on all fronts. But help us as the people of God to understand that you're with us. So teach us today from your word, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. David wrote this psalm when King Saul was pursuing him. There were difficult times in David's life. He doubted, from the first four verses, he doubted God's divine activity in his life. And by the grace of God, David turned his struggles into songs, and we can too, and be encouraged from this chapter in the struggles of our life. And we all have struggles in the flesh. There are different kinds of struggles, but we all have them. So if we're going to turn our sufferings into songs, then you must deal with three areas of your life. Number one, your feelings. Number two, your fears. And number three, your faith. It's all right here in the text. Notice feelings, first of all, in verse 1 and 2. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my own soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? So David felt abandoned by the Lord. He felt forsaken, and he felt forgotten. You ever been there? We've all been there, haven't we? So he felt abandoned by the Lord, forsaken and forgotten in time of his greatest need. What was going on? Well, God promised David the throne, but there was no coronation yet. Saul seemed to be getting by the judgment of God, continuing to do evil, and God wasn't judging him. David was doing good things, but he felt God did not take notice. Maybe, possibly, number four, he seemed to be concerned more with what God was not doing than what he was doing. Give me an amen there, somebody. David asked four times, how long? And it's a good question to ask if one's heart is right with God. Saints in heaven ask it. We saw in Revelation 6, if we're looking at the first five seals in the book of Revelation, at the opening of the tribulation period, we saw it in Revelation 6, 9 through 11. The tribulation saints that were martyred for the faith are under the altar of sacrifice. They shed their blood. They were there in the presence of Jesus, along with our loved ones that died before. And it says this, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, Lord, holy and true, dost thou judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" Now this is a righteous question, you know. It's not so much that they wanted real vengeance and the fall on those that killed them, but they wanted God's plan to be complete. And he promised that. It says, "How long, Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" Verse 11. "And white robes were given every one of them, and he said unto them that they should rest yet for a season until the fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." You see, when God shines his face upon someone, there's blessing and there's deliverance. But yet David, because of his troubles and hadn't got his mind right, he felt alienated and cursed. You know, we often pray in time of trouble, but we feel that God is distant. We feel deserted. I've pastored churches like that and said, "God, you put me here. Why do you leave me here?" You know? And I praise God, and at the end of my life, he gave me you, right? Somebody say amen. Amen. Because when he gave me you, he gave me you, right? Is that a word? All right. So he felt abandoned. And so what did he do? In verse 2, he began to devise his own plans. Been there, done that, right? He tried to scheme his way out of the situation. Notice what it says there in verse 2. "I've taken counsel in my own soul." That means he wrestled with his own thoughts. And faith doesn't scheme. Faith rests in the sovereign plan and providence of God. I like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And it's okay to struggle with our feelings. And so many people today walking around struggling, but pretending like everything is okay. I guarantee you, if you're in this human body, everything is not okay, right? But you're saved, right? We must remember that our feelings can be deceptive, they can deceive us, that God is greater than our storms in our life. So this is what problem with David. First four verses, he was looking at his problems, and the big God had become little. And the problems had become bigger. But when he took his eyes off of that, the big God became big. Right? David asked how long. Later in Psalms 31, verse 15, he said, "My times are in your hands." I used that at Brother Jerry's funeral. Griner. "My times are in your hands." So David struggled with his feelings, but David also struggled with his fears. Notice verse 3 and 4. "Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Light mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest mine enemies say I have prevailed against him." See, this is one thing we people of God do not want to happen. We do not want to live in such a way to bring condemnation upon our Savior, right? Like God's not going to deliver us. God's not going to do this, you know. And he says, "Lest mine enemies say I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved." So David, in verse 3, was concerned about himself, and he made three requests. Look in verse 3. "Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Light mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death." Consider me, look on me. Fix your eyes on me, is what he's saying. David felt the Lord had hidden his face from him, and he wanted his face. And he said, "Hear me and answer me." David felt deserted in his prayers. This thing was not going the way David wanted it to go. But let me in on a little secret. I'll let you in on a little secret. Y'all get closer. It was going the way God wanted it to go. He said, "Light my eyes, and give my light to my eyes." Verse 3. David wanted spiritual enlightenment to what was going on. See, that's our problem. We don't understand the big plan. We don't see the big picture. So David in verse 4 was concerned about the glory of God. God had chosen David to be king, and if David failed, then God's name would be ridiculed and God's name would be on the chopping block. That word "moved" there in verse 4 means to waver, to be agitated, to totter and to shake. If David began to waver, then God's promises and faithfulness would be at stake. So David wanted his own testimony not to be harmed. In our struggles, we must be concerned about the glory of God and our witness. Don't waver, totter, shake, or struggle before your enemies. So David had to overcome his feelings, his fears, and lastly, his faith. Notice verse 5 and 6. "But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thyself." See the change? It's a matter of focus. "But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord." See, there wasn't no song before. Now he said, "I'm going to sing. Because he hath dealt bountifully with me." Notice verse 5, that word "but" indicates a change. David moved from fear to faith, from questioning God to faith. David rejoiced in his salvation. God was on his throne. His character had not changed. His promises don't change, and because they're based on his character. That's why you can rely on God. His promises are based on his character. My promises are based on Adam's fallen nature, right? And we need to base our promises on the Word of God that does not change. We can't change the Word of God. We can't rewrite it. We can't add to it or take it away. The Bible is very plain about that in Revelation. Anyone that takes away or adds or subtracts or adds is in guilty of hellfire. And then notice verse 6. "I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dwelt bountifully with me." David turned his struggles into songs when he focused on God's salvation. Folks, there's nothing wrong with us that a good old focusing on God's salvation won't cure, right? And his sufficiency. If he can save us, he will be with us in the midst of the trial. He may not remove the trial, but he's going to be with us, right? Notice what he said, "he dwelt bountifully with me" in verse 6. It means David understood the grace of God, that God had been good to him in the past. He has dealt bountifully with me. So what happened here? David began to recall not only the salvation of the Lord, but he began to recall how God had dwelt with him bountifully in the past. One of those might be his victory over Goliath. Can't you imagine that? Wow. One of them might be all the times that David was saved from Saul's attacks. You know, God has dwelt with me bountifully. So I would say to you today, if in these struggles and these hardships, remember your salvation. Just praise God for your salvation. Praise him for who he is. And then remember how God has brought you to where you're at, right? This is not natural. It's spiritual. We can't do it in the flesh. Are y'all with me? And you're sitting there shaking your heart at your pastor and saying, I don't believe none of that. It is a spiritual work. It's not a fleshly work, right? So note David's circumstances, you know, had not changed. Saul was still after him. But the Lord changed his heart. I want to say something very important here. And I want y'all, not that I don't ever say anything important, but when you don't know the future, remember the past. When you don't know the future, remember the past. David got his song back when he stopped looking at his feelings and his fears and by faith looked unto the Lord. Then he understood. The question was asked, where is God when I need him? Beloved, we know where God's at. He's with us. Amen? And he's encouraging us and providing for us and sustaining us no matter what goes on. David understood that God was with him all the time, even in the trials and tribulations, right? And even when David got his mind right and he understood that God was with him. No invitation today. We want to give our Gideon time here. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you as we go through the Psalms. Lord, what an encouragement they are to us. Next week we'll be looking at one that says, fret not, fret not. And as we continue to go through these Psalms, I had planned this months in the past. Encourage us today that even in the hardship, we'll be able to praise you. So, Father, today we just give this service to you. Take the Word of God, worm it in the hearts of these that are here, and bring what's needed. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.